We're on Capricornus.
By the way, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think we ever, I know we started, but I don't think we ever finished the stars at one time. Even once, did we?
Well, I did, but I don't know how many other people did. Well, I finished them several times.
Yeah, I think you did, but I don't
I think we ended it at the Sagittarius.
We got beyond, we got at least the Capricornus.
Yeah.
I've got eight, but I'm
gonna, I don't think we got much further than where we are right now.
I'm going to make a copy of that. I've already digitized it, but I need to put it on a DVD for you.
Okay.
You asked me to do that.
I was just curious, because if there is, I'd like to hear it, because I don't think we've got much further than where we are now. 30 years or 20 years or whatever.
Last time we studied the first decan of Capricorn, which was the arrow, Sagitta. And the arrow without a bow. It's he who shoots it is invisible. And it's God's arrow that's going through, and it's aimed at the heart of his son, so that there is reconciliation and there's forgiveness of sin and there's everything through the death and resurrection of Christ. And that's what we studied last time. Now we are at Aquila, the eagle. That's the second decan of Capricornus. Now, if you look at the eagle, everybody find the eagle above. There's three decans right above Capricorn.
It's that eagle that looks a little bit like a fish.
Yeah, like
yeah, it does.
That's a bad eagle. It is a bad rendition.
Well, it's supposed to be, because it's a falling, eagle that's falling.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. The snake coming out its butt.
And it's the three decans of Capricornus are Sagitta, the arrow, Aquila, the eagle, and Delphinus, the dolphin. Those are the three decans that we're starting to see, as we talked about, more and more of the finished work of Christ as it affects his people. And here we have the eagle. Now, this is another picture of the effect of that arrow. The arrow was aimed at the heart of Jesus Christ, and the eagle is in numerous places in the scripture, and we'll look at some of them.
Snakes.
He is one of the types of Jesus Christ. And so, and we studied the scripture the other night, where the eagle is, there the serpents aren't. So, but anyhow, so let's look at a couple places. Let's go to Psalm 38. Notice that he's dying, he's falling, and he's dying. And he's a type of Christ's death, and it was God's arrow that slew him. Psalm 38. Blame Pete, or blame Helen, that's what you should do.
This is one of them.
Alright, Psalm 38. Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrow stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Now, you got to understand, and I have to keep repeating this. The Psalms were written by the Spirit of Christ in David and the ten, the other writers that wrote Psalms, and they're the prayers of Christ as he was in the flesh, and they are the prayers of Christ in you. And you have to see that, otherwise you'll start taking the Psalms to yourself just like you take everything else to yourself. The Psalms are his prayer in you. And this Psalm is a Psalm, one of the many of his suffering. And he said, Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure, for thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. There is no soundness in my flesh
what
because
mean
of
that
thine anger.
Your hand presses me sore. I'll get that. Your hand.
He doesn't say anybody else is doing it. It's him. It's God himself that is causing his suffering. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. There's no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. Now, he had no sin, obviously, but he took on him the sin of the world.
That shows you how you take it to yourself. I'm sitting there trying to think, thy hand presses me sore.
For mine iniquities are gone over mine head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. For my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Lord, all my desire is before thee, or towards thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. My heart panteth, my strength faileth me. As for the light of mine eyes, it is also gone from me. Now, the only way that we have any understanding of what was going on internally in Jesus Christ is by reading the Psalms. But as long as you apply the Psalms to you, you'll never understand. You'll never see. Amen?
Yeah.
And the Psalms will just be something that somebody wrote some time ago. They won't have real meaning. All right, now let's go to Zechariah, chapter 15.
That's what Ellen was reading in translation.
No, she was reading Zephaniah.
Oh, wow, well, yeah.
She's one of the reading one of the Z guys.
There's one of the two Z guys, yeah. So we're going to
Zechariah.
What chapter are we on?
13. Verse 6, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? And he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. Oh, that's don't take me all night to explain. I don't want to go there.
But it says it shall come to pass. This is pretty damn important.
All right. The stars in this, in the eagle, are interesting. The brightest star in the neck is called. Its name is Altair, T-A-I-R, and it means the wounding. The star in the throat is Alshain, S-H-A-I-N, which is scarlet, or the blood. And it's, in the back, it's Tara red. It means wounded or torn. In the lower wing, it's Al-Kair, C-A-I-R, the piercing. In the tail, it is Al-Okal, which means the wounded in heel. So again, the star names. It says he has named all the stars. God has named
them. On these star names, mm-hmm. where did they come from? Some of the studies from the Maseroth?
Yeah, the star names came from the studies. Well, I mean, they're easy to find when you start looking at Ptolemies, but they came to modern English-speaking countries through the work of Frances Ralston. She spent an entire lifetime searching all this thing out.
I should have got these bigger, though.
No, that's fine. Psalm 147. I just want to show you that about the stars. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their name. That's a pretty big deal.
Billions.
Hmm?
Billions. Trillions of stars.
Well, I don't know if he gave the ones that we can only see with a telescope, but I know that he gave the ones that we can see with the naked eye their name. Because they've been passed down. All right. Now, the eagle is the royal bird of all kings. Symbol of America. It's the mortal enemy of the serpent. It cares for its young in a way that no other bird that anybody knows about does. If there was a lacking of food, it tears its own flesh with a beak and its talons, so that there's blood to feed the children, to the eaglets. And so what a perfect type of Christ.
Yeah.
Now we're going to look at a few places where Christ is referred to as an eagle, and then we're going to look at Ezekiel and Revelation to finish the eagle thing. But let's go to Exodus 19. First.
It gives even more meaning to the abdomen when they with the blood.
Amen.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Oh. Exodus what?
19. One verse. You all don't have to do. I mean, I'm going to just go through and you can read them.
Yeah,
you can follow.
Hard to catch up with you.
Exodus 19, verse 4. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. And in Deuteronomy 32. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy.
Numbers, too.
Yeah, Numbers.
I mean, Numbers, Deuteronomy.
Numbers.
Forgot Numbers.
Not for Deuteronomy. Yeah,
always
a smart ass here.
Yeah.
32, verse 11.
All right.
As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God within him. That's the last words of Moses. That's the song of Moses just before he died.
Oh.
All right, now go to Daniel 7. I love you.
That was such a bizarre, wild experience when that eagle sat out right outside your window.
That wasn't an eagle. That was a hawk.
Red-tailed hawk.
He sat. He came here about three or four days. He sat in my Chase lounge, with his looking at me in the window.
Was this recently?
A red-tailed hawk.
Sounds like
that. Was this recently?
Well, yeah, just a few months ago.
I lived in Dallas all my life. I never saw a hawk until the last year or two here in Dallas.
Wow.
Well, it's because you live over in the yuppie part of town.
Yeah. I live about 6-3 blocks over there.
You're getting, all right, Danielle 7.
Moving into the cities.
Okay, this is the first time that we see this vision of the beast. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. And he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matter. And Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from one another. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made stand upon the feet as a man. And the man's heart was given to it. Anyway, and then it goes on. There's another vision and an eagle, but I'm not going to go through all those tonight. But I just want you to see that. Now go to Revelation 4. And this is what, now it starts to get fun for me.
It's always fun.
What?
But it's always fun.
No, it's not always fun for me when I have to keep repeating the same thing over and over again.
It should stay away so long.
The first part of Revelation, the first three chapters, are the messages to the churches. The fourth chapter is his vision. And let's read it. After this I looked, and behold, and remember, everything in Revelation is where the angel of the Lord says, come see, come see, come see. And you got to hear this. What you hear is what you see. What you see is what you do. What you touch, you have dominion over. What you eat is what gives you sustenance. What you drink is what gives you work, spiritual. And so all of this, the whole mystery is, that's why in obedience in the Old Testament, it's observe to do, observe to do. And so, that's why as we behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But you won't see him unless you hear him. It's always first, hear, see, do. And there's never, and the doing never has anything to do with your mind. Amen?
I think one of the big things for me too in Revelation was to finally see that, you know, that he was, that John was like taken out of time and space. He was,
John saw it in time and space.
Yeah.
He saw the new Jerusalem descending.
So he saw without it. But yeah, that's just it.
Okay.
But time and space, that's a lot to do with it.
But yeah, because it, what happened is he saw eternity come into time and space. The new Jerusalem is now our overriding reality. And all of time is going through that new Jerusalem from west to east.
It's really hard to get your brain around.
All right. After this I beheld, and I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, and said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now again, this represents in the temple, there were 24 courses of the priesthood. And so these 24 are the courses in the temple. These were the leaders of that temple. And when they sit, and we'll see in a minute, they fall down as dead, that means everything then was over. All right, watch. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion. The second beast like a calf. The third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts each had of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day nor night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which is, which was and is to come. When those beasts give glory and honor and thank to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And the 24 elders, and this is, you've got to hear this, the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, thou alone art worthy, yeah, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were, they are, and were created. Now we have to go back to Ezekiel 1. Again, we're studying the eagle. That was one of the faces of the beast, was the eagle. You got it? So now go back to Ezekiel chapter 1. Starting verse 4. And I looked, and behold. Now this is the reading for Pentecost. Every Pentecost is supposed to read this first chapter of Ezekiel. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and brightness was about it.
Ezekiel 1?
Ezekiel chapter 1. Now in verse 4.
Oh, verse 4, okay.
And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof was the color of amber, and out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings. And their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings, on their four sides. And the four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another, and they turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. And as for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and the four had the face of an ox on the left side, and the four had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward, whither the spirit was to go, they went. And they turned not as when they went. Anyway, the whole idea here
this is a nuclear explosion with helicopters coming out of it.
Yeah, right.
We'll call you Van Impey.
This traces of the work of God and his people when they are fully yielded to him. Now, Ezekiel was already a priest. He'd been a priest for 21 years. And now he had the lion on his back, you remember? And he eat barley cakes mixed with his own dung to show Jerusalem what they were doing. Anyway, but this is. This is the image of the new creation in Christ, born out of his death and baptized in the fire of his Holy Spirit. The face of an eagle mounting up with wings as eagles, no serpents. The face of an ox in perfect patience and obedience. The face of a lion in fearless boldness, divine courage. And the man face, perfect humanity in Christ. Faithful witness, fellowship with his suffering. They, the new creation, are all joined to each other that all may be one. They go everyone straight. They press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. They did not and never did, nor was it impossible for them to leave the way. If they are fully and completely have come to the end of themselves. And this is the picture of his church that's fully yielded to him. Anybody get a little thing on that for a minute? This isn't some weird comic book thing. This is, if we only had ears to hear, we would see this as a divine revelation of the majesty and power and obedience of his people.
Well, just for the tape, you said impossible, but you meant it was not possible.
What?
For them to do anything else.
It was impossible for them to do anything else because they were going as one being. That's the picture of the church, the true church. Now, it's the picture of God in every wheel of circumstance that we can possibly come up with, never leaning on our own arm of understanding to solve any issue, always giving everything back up to the Father. And it's that constant, alive, and everyone, they're going in one path, one way, one truth.
That covers everything. I mean, they had all kinds of faces and all kinds of eyes and everything going everywhere and all going one way. Had it all covered.
It's the Spirit of God in the wheels of circumstances, abiding and moving without friction. And the Spirit was in the wheels. They moved together in perfect harmony. I wrote that on paper. The wheels of circumstance working out the counsel of his own will. Oh. But the reason we're studying this is because of the eagle. And it's one of the faces. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
So is there any particular significance to the number, to 24? Can they go back to the temple or something? Or?
The 24 courses of the priesthood.
Okay, yeah.
There was 144,000 priests. And that was divided into 24 courses of the priesthood.
Yeah, okay.
And those four courses covered everything from picking worms out of the wood that was being burnt on the brazen altar to inspecting the innards of the sacrificial animal to make sure there was no fat in the wrong place.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
But this is living in this terrible crystal, awesome crystal of God's presence. It's, again, just stop this insanity of living in time and space. This is not our home. We are from we're studying in Luke in the New Testament in morning Bible study about the word place. It's polis and when it's used in the New Testament. And it means the city of your birth. We only have one city of our birth. It has nothing to do with anything in time and place, space. The city of our birth is the New Jerusalem, and we are out of time and space.
Well, we're aliens, actually.
Well, but again, there's no home here.
Yeah.
And every time you try to make attachments, then you miss the mystery.
Yeah.
You walk in the light as he is in the light. There's no shoddy, there's no shady corners, no twisty ways, no policy, no tactics, no planning, no scheming, no deceptions, no procrastination, no thinking about it, only action. This is our heritage. This is our inheritance. But you've got to empty. You've got to have come to the end of yourself. Anybody believe this?
You know, we've often talked about computers and the way that we type stuff on the hard drive and the same things typed into our heads, and the internet has developed the Google, and now they've got this thing called Bing. And that's what it is. Instead of looking up something, it goes ahead and decides for you. Yeah, so it's a picture of this. Even humanity has got a computer program that instead of looking things up, it decides. You tell it what you want, it decides. It doesn't look up. It just moves forward and decides. That's weird.
Ezekiel saw is the picture of the new creation abiding in him and moving in himself. He lifted up his eyes and saw his vision, saw far above all possibilities, far above all anything you could ask or think.
That's a wild word.
This is what Paul saw. He saw this glory, and from that moment forward, he counted all things but loss. He counted everything but dung. When Ezekiel saw this, what is the next thing happened to him? Well, just look, we're done. You ought to really study the whole chapter. But
yeah,
in verse 28,
as
the appearance of the bowl that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. You don't move unless the Spirit. Do you see how petty cause and effect is compared to this? Do you see how beggarly our little ideas and plans are?
You worry me when you say there's no procrastination, because a lot of stuff seems like procrastination is kind of waiting.
Well, you wait until there's no doubt. Then you move.
Yeah. The cat cloud moves, you move with it. Yeah. The cloud is the doubt. Now, there's a difference between procrastination and waiting. Mm-hmm. Procrastination is putting something off that your mind has told you to think you should do. Waiting is for the cloud and the doubt to be removed and then
being.
If you look at, if you really study this first few chapters of Ezekiel, you find out that God messes with him, and he just says he messed with Paul until his people have no more reference to themselves. They have no history. They have no past. They have no future. It's all him.
The hard guy's white clean.
Amen?
Amen.
Just a little bit. I love this stuff. I hope you do. That's not for tonight.
What's next week?
The next week is the dolphin. I love the dolphin. Anybody have any response, any thoughts?
Well, this statement about the bow and the day and the cloud in the day of rain is that always catches you by surprise and just takes your breath away. It's a, you know, landlord, so that's just,
I promise you, this is never boring.
Yeah, you see this commonality with Paul, you know, the scales falling off his eyes, the 24 elders had fallen down, you know, the Revelation had fell down, when it hits you, the God in Christ is just everything, you're nothing, there's no you. You know, it has to be, it's maybe prostrate, you just want to lay on the ground, you fall down.
Come here, without condition.
Give
I've
up.
Come to the total end of myself.
Yeah, I give up. And it just makes you flat. But I don't know if that makes any sense. But.
Any thoughts, Josh?
No, I'm still trying my best to apprehend it.
Or stop.
Death.
It'll apprehend you.
Yeah.
One of those things,
Mary. Can you see what so silly all this stuff is up here?
Big eraser.
No. Yeah.
Big eraser, yeah, mind erasers.
Delete.
Wouldn't that be great?
No, you don't. But again, the secret isn't that. You'd be an angel, and you'd just be. God wants you to do what He wants you to without Him telling you to.
No,
that's obedience, and you can't do that without suffering.
He wants you to go kick the wall without Him telling you to go kick the wall.
But the whole idea is He wants you to know His heart so well that you do what He wants without Him telling you to. Yeah. That's the true obedience. That's the obedience of sonship, of the bride.
Oh, that's heavy stuff.
Not this.
Obligation.
Yeah, if there's obligation, then there can't be love. All right, take a big guy.
That's perfect. My pizza's ready at 8:15.
Where is your pizza?